It's here and now. When Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg started her Ban Bossy campaign, she meant get rid of the negative word, not the strength behind it. But people still reacted. An English professor told the Hartford Courant, "Nobody's going to tell me to ban bossy." The Nashville Business Journal wrote, "Bring back bossy. Sheryl Sandberg is wrong about this one." Sandberg's theory is an old one, that women are called bossy while men are called confident for the same behavior. But her call was seen by many as bossy. Beth Monahan is co-founder of the PR firm Ink House Media. As the head of a mainly female company, she has some advice for young women in the workplace. We want to get to that. But Beth, you weighed in on this bossy debate for Forbes. What do you think about the call for a ban?
I do think we should ban the word bossy. I mean, when you think about it, for young children, you would never call a little boy bossy. But last week, my daughter's teacher, I showed up at school and she told me that my daughter was being bossy that week. And the data shows that when you tell a child, a girl, that she is bossy, it discourages her from raising her hand. I'm the mother of two young girls under the age of 5, and I want them to raise their hands early and high.
How did you find your confidence?
The beginning of founding my company was when I was dry heaving into a trash can trying to quit my job. And I raced out of my office and then I called my dad and I told him I couldn't do it. I had this crisis of confidence. And he said, "You know what, Beth, you need to get back in there and quit." And I needed to borrow his confidence that day. And I was lucky enough to have him. But I had come from a job where I had a boss who said to me one day after I had taken a pay cut to go there, she said, "You know, you never really deserved to make that much money in the first place." Mm. And I think that as women, we have this responsibility to celebrate success for every woman and to help us find our way to be successful. So I did quit my job.
Well, you quit your job, and I'm going to put a couple things together here because you're also noting that it was a woman who told you that. So you're saying we have to be more supportive of each other. But you quit your job, borrowing confidence from your dad. Then you start a company. Where do you get the confidence for that?
I knew how to do PR, but I didn't know how to build a company, and it was good that I didn't know that. So I got into it, and I quickly realized that, you know, I had built my career by being the person who worked hard, but I wasn't necessarily the person that they wanted sitting at the table. So I needed to learn how to do that. So I started studying how other confident people acted at the table. And I started trying to adapt that for my own personal style.
So give us some tips, first of all.
You need to stop apologizing and be purposeful about it. But do learn how to apologize when it matters. So I had a time when I set up this very important interview for a client of mine in my previous job, and I totally forgot that I had set it up. We missed the meeting. He sent me a scathing email, and I sat at my desk, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do about this? So I just picked up the phone, and I called him, and I said, "Look, you don't know me very well, but when you do, you will know that this is not how I operate. This will never happen again.
And I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? That act in and of itself gave me more respect than 4 great interviews in a row would have, because I showed him that I was confident enough to take responsibility.
Well, this is a case where you weren't afraid to admit a flaw. You know, sometimes prefacing a conversation with a flaw, you know, "I'm sorry," isn't good. But this is a case where admitting it is good. And I want to go back to that, this idea that, again, women think they have to be perfect, as opposed to young men who may think, I'm pretty great. You actually have an anecdote from someone you were going to hire?
I do, yeah. This was just a few months ago, and we had gone through 200 resumes, and we had this woman who was our top front runner. We were about to offer her a job when she called our HR department, and she said she was taking herself out of the running because she didn't think she was qualified. And I said, "Well, if she's not interested, that's one thing. But if she is interested, I believe she's qualified." So we found out she was interested, and I said, "Well, let's bring her back in." So I had her in, and I sat her down, and I said, "You know, I have talked my way into most jobs I've ever gotten in my life, and I believe you can do this job. And if you believe that you can do it, I'm here to offer it to you." And she took it, and I'm so glad that she did.
Did you ask her why she was going to take herself out of the running?
She didn't think she had the right experience for the job she was interviewing for.
Was she stunned that you were going to hire her?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you know what? She's great.
Well, what would you tell the young woman who's up for a job and just is thinking, I'm not going to get this?
When you walk into a room, your first impression is nonverbal. So I always tell women, particularly when they're walking into the room, you just stand up tall, please smile, extend your hand out, and look the person in the eye. They're very tactical tips, but they work.
Some other tips, saying no by saying yes. What do you mean?
You shut people down when you say no. It comes off much more confidently if you say, yes, we can do that if we do this, this, and this.
Yes, we can do that, but I have these concerns.
Yeah, I always say, please find a way to yes.
What else?
I think you should choose your words pretty carefully. Early in my career, I had a boss who told me that I said the word like too much.
No.
She did. And she said that I had great ideas, but that it masked my ideas.
Well, what do you do about the young women in particular who say like and you know and right? And we like to play with those words, but
we do.
What happens when that is the way someone speaks?
You have to work at it. I didn't know I was doing it. And when my boss told me, she told it to me kindly. And that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. She was trying to help me. I took it so seriously. And I spent a good month really focusing on it. I told a few people who I trusted around me that I was trying to stop doing it. And I said, let me know when I do it. Mm-hmm. And I did it.
How about sentences ending in a question? You don't do that either. Did you work on that?
I did work on that, and I try to help other women work on it. When you give an update to your boss, to a client, and you're phrasing good results like a question, they sound like they might be bad results. So you can't let your voice go up at the end of a sentence. And it's the same tip. Tell a few close people around you that you're working on it. If you have a mentor, tell that person that you're working on it. Have them help you know when you're doing it so that you can stop doing it.
Anything else you tell young women?
There's a woman named Amy Cuddy at Harvard Business School, and she has this, she's done a lot of research into power poses, and she looks at it from the animal kingdom to humans. And what she has found is that if you take a powerful pose, she's not suggesting that you do it in the meeting, but perhaps you do it in the bathroom before the meeting, it amps up your testosterone and makes you feel more confident. So if you think about Wonder Woman and her stance with her arms on her hips and her feet out, that's a power pose.
Well, you feel it when you do it. Not that I am doing it in the bathroom before the show or anything like that. But you know what? Sheryl Sandberg goes one step further. She says in the meeting, adopt the same pose as maybe the man sitting across from you. Uncross your legs and lean your hands on your knees and lean forward.
That's right.
Like men do.
That's right. Women tend to hunch over, cross their arms, and that's in nature, that's a defensive position. It's a weak position. You're protecting yourself. And so if you're opening up your body and being more, taking up more space, you're projecting confidence.
Yeah. So both feet on the floor, hands on your knees.
Yes.
Beth Monahan, co-founder of Ink House Media. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I'm sorry, but we have to go now. Wait, no. I'm fine with that. Look, if you want to weigh on this, people already are, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. A lot of people asking Sheryl Sandberg to help hotel workers lean in as they try to unionize. Your thoughts at hereandnow.org or on Facebook. You're listening to Here and Now.